front of the door, it's Dave!
Who?
Dave! D-A-V-E!
Dave?
Right, man, Dave.
Dave's not here!
Hey everyone, it's Dave, and welcome to another edition of Just What Do You Think You're Doing, Dave? On today's show, I wanted to talk about an article I saw in Fortune magazine that I thought was really kind of interesting and summed up a lot of thoughts about, you know, kind of where we are evolutionarily and some of the things that we have and how viruses and other things that affect us. Look, there are things in our environment all the time. Nature finds a way of trying to right itself, to change the course of human evolution in any way that it can. That's just the nature of nature. That's just the way things happen. And so there was this article that said, you might have Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, or lupus because your ancestor survived the Black Death, the study says. It's by Laura Ungar, and it's from October 19th of this year. And it really is kind of an interesting story. And as you think about how we as humans evolve and the things we do and why we are who we are, it often has something to do with things we faced in our own ancestral past. Our DNA continues to evolve as a result of some of these things that are outside in society and the things that affect us. So the article reads, our medieval ancestors left us with a biological legacy. Genes that may have helped them survive the Black Death make us more susceptible to certain diseases today. It's a prime example of the way germs shape us over time, scientists say in a new study published Wednesday in the Journal of Nature. Our genome today is a reflection of our whole evolutionary history. As we adapt to different germs, said Luis Barrerio, a senior author of the research. Some, like those behind the bubonic plague, have had a big impact on our immune systems. The Black Death in the 14th century was the single deadliest event in the recorded human history, spreading throughout Europe, the Middle East, and North Africa, and wiping out 30 to 50% of the population. Barrerio and his colleagues at the University of Chicago, McMaster University in Ontario, and the Pasteur Institute in Paris examined ancient DNA samples from the bones of more than 200 people from London to Denmark who died over about a 100-year stretch that stretched before, during, and after the Black Death swept through that region. They identified four genes that, depending on the variant, either protected against or increased susceptibility to the bacteria that causes bubonic plague, which is most often transmitted by the bite of an infected flea. They found that what helped people in medieval times led to problems generations later, raising the frequency of mutations detrimental in modern times. Some of the same genetic variants identified as protective against the plague are associated with certain autoimmune disorders, such as Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In these sorts of diseases, the immune system that defends the body against disease and infections attacks the body's own healthy tissue. A hyperactive immune system may have been great in the past, but in the environment today, it might not be as helpful, said Henrik Poenar, an anthropology professor at McMaster and another senior author. Past research has also sought to examine how the Black Death affected the human genome. But Barrerio said he believes theirs is the first demonstration that the Black Death was important to the evolution of the human immune system. One unique aspect of the study, he said, was to focus on a narrow time window around the event. Monica H. Green, an author and historian of medicine who has studied the Black Death extensively, called the research tremendously impressive, bringing together a wide range of experts. It's extremely sophisticated and addresses important issues such as how the same version of a gene can protect people from a horrific infection and also put modern people and generations of their descendants at risks for other illnesses, said Green, who was not involved in the study. All of this begs the question, will the COVID-19 pandemic have a big impact on human evolution? Barrerio said he doesn't think so because the death rate is so much lower and the majority of people who have died had already had children. In the future, however, he says that more deadly pandemics may well continue to shape us at the most basic level. It's not going to stop. It's going to keep going for sure. I just found that to be really kind of a compelling little story about how we evolve, right? Our genes continue to evolve. We find new ways to adapt over the centuries. We find new things that we can get into. And people will tell you that, you know, human history is not that long, or that, you know, we're somehow genetically protected because of some deity or something like that anyway. And you realize that that's not the case. We're just humans who've evolved up over time, lived through generational types of problems. Like 50% of the population on the in that region, or that would be most of the earth, dying during that time, during the Black Death, because fleas were carrying a disease that we couldn't counteract. We didn't have the medicine we have today. The reason we haven't seen something quite like that is because we have better medicines and better things to help to prevent against such diseases. So it's an important step forward that we've made in the medicinal field, where we're more prepared for that. But nature is always trying to right itself and find a way. And there's always these new things that come up and new things that happen. And you hear about some new pandemic, some new virus, some new thing where humans are at risk. You know, sometimes we do it to ourselves with some of the genetic mutation things we're doing. I'll agree that that does happen in some cases where we're doing it to ourselves and trying to help ourselves in some way. And sometimes it's just nature finding a way. There was a great story that's been sort of, I don't know, put into a different apocryphal state in a way, where basically the mosquito population in Florida was always a problem. We always had mosquitoes in Florida because we have a lot of standing water. So there's always been mosquitoes around, and that's always been an issue. So the story goes that the University of Florida created something called the love bug that would feast on mosquitoes. The problem was the love bug had no natural predators. So for a period of time, when they were studying them, so the story goes, they were released into nature. And some people believe it might have been accidentally. Some people believe it was a sort of controlled experiment. And they did help sort of control the mosquito population for a period of time, but then they bred and they evolved on their own, and they continue to propagate, and they have no known predators. So during the summer months, you see these love bugs that come out, and they just run into everything, and they just kind of swarm around everywhere. And they're kind of nasty in a way, because they're kind of just bugs, basically. And they've evolved to the point where they don't eat the mosquitoes. So, it doesn't help. Now, again, the story is sort of fictitious in a way. That's not exactly what happened. There's a much deeper story around how it happened and how it came together. But you get the context, right? We do something as humans that is supposed to help us in some way. It's going to get rid of the mosquito population. And something else happened. Now, again, whether that's a full story, whether that all actually happened that way, whether the University of Florida was involved or not, all of these things I'm skeptical about. But the principle remains that we continue to try and do evolutionary things that will change something in our environment. And we cause some unintended consequence because we do that. So we have to be really conscientious and careful about the things that we take on and the things that we do. And as we think about our own evolution and how we move on, and we think about what will happen to how we will go next and what will happen to us next, we always have to be cautious of the next big thing. Our population has grown to a very large degree. We have more social things that we do where we're engaged with more people, especially now that the COVID-19 pandemic has kind of slowed and we've lost our appetite for, kind of setting ourselves up at home and so forth. And the next thing will happen. Whether it happens in a year, 5 years, 10 years is unknown, but the next thing will happen. How many millions of people will die that time? I think we're north of a million on COVID-19. And when you think about that in the United States, that's a pretty big number. I realize that it's, not quite 1%, but it's still a pretty big number. People died from it. And the next time it could be bigger or smaller. We don't know. So we just have to be on guard and conscientious of this. And if we understand ourselves and our environment even better and put more money into understanding and studying, that was always my big thing about the COVID-19 pandemic when it got started, was we weren't investing in the right things. It was sort of a, let's just take this wild approach and it's the Wild West and everyone do what they want to do. And different states did different things and different government agencies did different things, and it was sort of a hodgepodge. Nobody really knew what to do. But if we'd have had a coordinated response and tried some things and actually, used it as a great social experiment to see what works and start to build on some medical research, some technical research, and do some things, we could have maybe helped ourselves out for the future. Yeah, maybe it wouldn't have helped in this case specifically, but in the future, maybe we would have. Because we would have built on something and learned more about ourselves. And that's kind of the point. As long as we continue to learn, evolve, and grow, we will be in a better place to protect ourselves against these things. Understanding that the Black Death changed people's DNA so that generationally we have some of these other diseases because of that? That's fascinating. And it really does go to show you how these how the world is interconnected in a way, and we have all these things that happen. There's a working hypothesis that the quote-unquote common cold is actually a remnant of the 1918 pandemic, the Spanish flu as they call it, which wasn't Spanish and wasn't really a flu. But all of those things may be related, that this common cold is what's left over from that version of the COVID that we had at that point in time. And I realize it's not exactly the same, but because it was a virus that was propagating through society, there's a good likelihood that this common cold is a result of that. Interesting, right? And whether it's 100% true or not, the fact that we even understand it to that level and can even hypothesize that that's true and that's the case is an interesting finding, because we start to understand ourselves better. Now, perhaps in the not too distant future, someone will determine that it either is or isn't the case. But for now, we just have to kind of go with it and go, you know, that's a possibility, and start to understand how the world works that way. So anyway, that's it. I just wanted to share that with you, to kind of look at sort of the evolutionary cycle and how we do things, and, you know, how we should be always conscious of what's happening around us, especially in this world where we're interconnected. That is my podcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. And remember, if we can dream it, we can certainly do it.
What's your point, David?